Welcome back to Horoscope Witch. It's Mal, and I welcome you to episode 14. 14, yeah, 14. Today, I am calling an interest meeting for anybody who is witch curious, or maybe you're just a baby witch still getting started. I kind of want to have a general interest meeting where I sort of talk about my beginning stages of calling myself a witch, being a witch, what does being a witch mean to me? And I kind of want to give you guys some tips, or at least just share my story about how I got started with my journey of witchcraft, because a lot of you guys actually ask me about that. And I'm a little late to the game on this episode because my whole podcast is called Horoscope Witch, and I have yet to make an episode about being a witch. So here we are today. But if you guys don't mind, I sort of want to begin this episode with a tarot reading for you all, because I am just sort of so overwhelmed with like the love you guys have left on the reviews on Apple Podcasts. All those reviews mean so much to me. And also the Women Who Run With the Wolves episodes, they're going so well. And you guys seem to really like the book. And I've been getting so much good feedback from those episodes. And it's just motivating me to make more book club episodes and make better episodes for you guys and just kind of do the best I can. So as a thank you, because I really do appreciate you, who's ever listening on the other side, I want to sort of give you guys a message from Spirit. And I especially want to do this because on the 20th, January 20th, 2019, we had a pretty intense solar eclipse, full moon solar eclipse in Leo. And if you are still feeling kind of frustrated, / depressed, / anxious from that energy, you are not alone. I felt that too. I've been kind of on the down low for the past couple days, and I truly did feel that moon leading up to it. Probably a good week before that moon, I started to feel the energy, and I'm still feeling it about, you know, what is it, like 3 or 4 days after. So that was not the most fun energy, right? Eclipses usually have us sort of very gripping our fists and wanting things to move faster, and they're not. It kind of leaves us with a feeling of things need a change, but we're still stagnant. And all these energies can be kind of frustrating. So I just want to bring you guys, if you don't mind, if you don't want the message, you can just fast forward and to when I start talking about witchcraft and everything. But I just want to give you guys a small message. I want to pull one card from my Color Gypsy Oracle, which is probably my favorite oracle deck. And I think I've turned on a couple people to this deck because it's just so beautiful, and it's just colors and one key word. And I really believe in using color for magic, or color to develop your intuition. And the cards mean a lot to me. So I'm going to pull one card from the Color Gypsy Oracle, and I want to ask Spirit. Ooh, something already flew out. Okay. All right, that went onto the floor here. So I want to ask Spirit, before I turn over the card, I want to ask Spirit about just a message for anybody who's listening right now. Maybe you'll resonate, maybe you won't. Whenever you're listening to this, hopefully the message is for you now. And then I'm also going to shuffle right now. I haven't flipped over the Color Gypsy card yet, but I'm going to also shuffle my Aquarian Tarot deck and pull one card from this deck and see what Spirit also has to tell you at this moment. So if you want to take a minute and kind of get a focus on what you would like answered, and I'm just going to shuffle these and see what flies out. Ooh, okay. All right, we got, okay, I'm going to flip over here and here. Okay. Okay, this is amazing. Okay, so I think that from the Color Gypsy deck, we got basically completely green card, and the keyword is nature time. And then from the Aquarian tarot deck, we got the Ace of Pentacles. So I'm getting that there's a lot of frustration going on the other side, who's ever listening to this. There's some sort of like I kind of said, it's almost like spirit's giving me a sort of picture of someone getting on a motorcycle, and you're sort of like pressing the gas and making that noise, like the sound of like a car or a motorcycle getting ready to take off, but for some reason the wheels aren't turning. So it's like you're slamming on the gas, but the car isn't going. And that's because the seed right now is just being planted. And there's sort of a sense that you have these big goals now. Maybe the eclipse, the solar eclipse brought about a sort of new beginning, a profound ending, a new beginning. You know you need a new beginning in some aspect of your life, and you're almost ready for this new beginning to just be served to you on this golden platter. It's all ready to go. You know, you put in a couple days of work and you're like, what the heck? Why don't I have my harvest yet? This is a ripoff. But I think Spirit wants you to know that things are just getting started. You're just starting to plant these seeds, and it's okay. We are seriously at a point of new beginning. Also, right now, Spirit showing me the number one on a coin, which kind of makes sense because we have the Ace of Pentacles here. And that's also kind of a penny. So it's sort of, it's the sense that we are truly at a very, we have a clean slate. We're at step number one, and we have to remember we're at step number one right now. Whenever we're starting to take on a new beginning, we have to remember we can't build Rome in one day. We have to calm down. We have to take things one step at a time and make your to-do list shorter than you think it needs to be, because you may be maybe feeling like you need to make a to-do list that's like 20 things long, and you have like all your goals for the next 10 years. And that's great if you have that. But remember, goals are achieved in small day-to-day batches, right? So if you can do something small right now to feed your new beginning every single day, just do something little, that will actually benefit more in the long run than trying to do a billion things in one day and getting frustrated. Okay, as for nature time, the green card from the color gypsy deck, of course, the obvious message is we need to reconnect with nature to sort of medicate our anxiety about our new beginning right now. It's really hard, especially if you live in the Midwest like I do. I live in the Chicagoland area. It's hard to connect with nature right now because it's so fucking cold out. At the moment, it's like sleeting, and there's ice outside, and my driveway is like an ice skating rink. So it's sort of like nature or spirit sort of making fun of me right now with this card, because I literally don't want to go outside, and I feel like I can't connect with nature right now because I hate the winter so much. And I like need to stop complaining. We all need to stop complaining, and we also need to remember that we can reach nature in other ways. If in meditation is a really good way to reach nature, if you're working on meditating, developing your skills for meditation, feel free to try to go into a warm place when you're meditating, whether that be a desert, a jungle. I'm laughing right now because I have a Oshun candle, Goddess Oshun. I am burning a candle that's dedicated to her energy, and I was just taken in a meditation the other night into sort of Oshun's African jungle. And I actually discovered a lot in that African jungle that I was in, and I didn't have to go outside. I didn't have to leave my house, and it was just all kind of played out inside my mind. So I think that's the advice for today. Remember that Rome wasn't built in a day. Your new beginning is completely valid, and I think you should follow that spark of joy, if we're putting it in what's the Netflix special with, is it Marine, I forget her name. You guys know what I'm talking about. The Netflix special about cleaning house and, you know, getting rid of all the stuff that doesn't spark you joy anymore. So if we do that, and we flip this new leaf, and we're moving towards things that spark us joy, remember, it takes a long time for things to come to fruition, and everything is on divine timing as well. We need to know that. Divine timing is different than human timing. And in a sense, humans make a mockery out, not a mockery, but we try to, we kind of try to copy divine timing, or we try to copy the way spirit times stuff with our clocks. You know, we operate on a 24-hour day. We operate within a 12-month year. But that's not really how spirit works. It's really not. And we have to remember that. We're on spirit time. We're not on human time. But in our meditations, if we can go into nature, that's going to help us a lot. And that's going to help us medicate our anxiety. So that's my advice for you today. Honestly, I don't know if I just rambled for like 10 minutes. How long was that? I don't even know. But that's our tarot card message for today. I hope it resonates with you. If it doesn't, hopefully it'll resonate with you in the near future. And I'm going to take a quick break to sort of end that first beginning segment, and then we're going to come back and we're going to discuss how to be a witch. Okay, guys, welcome to my interest meeting, my witchcraft interest meeting. If you are a baby witch, welcome. If you're simply just witch curious, you're more than welcome. Also, if you are like, have been a witch forever, like for the past like decade, also, welcome. If you just kind of want to see what the kids are talking about these days, feel free to stay around. And I want you guys to know that I want to share my experience and about witchcraft. And I've really have come to it very recently as well. So take everything I say with a grain of salt. I think I've made that clear by now that on this podcast, I never want to be talking from a place of expertise. I'm simply talking from a place of a student, and I have a lot to learn, and I would definitely urge you to get other opinions and go on YouTube, go on other podcasts, find blogs about witchcraft, especially if you truly are interested in it. Get someone else's opinion besides me, because I can really only share my experience, and my experience may not resonate with you exactly. And I'm definitely not claiming that there is a right way or a wrong way to be a witch at any point in this podcast. So I just want to start out with that. But also, I wanted to point out too that, you know, there are so, like, everything woo-woo is so freaking trendy right now. Like, astrology is so trendy, tarot cards are trendy, and I think witchcraft is actually becoming more and more trendy, and there's so many Instagram witches out there that are so wonderful, and I think really the old taboos about being a witch are kind of being, you know, just eradicated, and we're sort of feeling this like rebirth of what it means to be a witch in the 21st century in 2019. And although it's trendy, I'm kind of liking the trend, and I don't necessarily think you should become a witch just to hop on the bandwagon. But if the trend of, you know, witchcraft, astrology, and tarot or whatnot has sort of led you on a genuine path of witchcraft, I think that's good too. And I think that's the positive part of the trends. And I can really only speak to like my generation with the millennials, but I think we're sort of, you know, a lot of us are moving away from more of an organized religion route. And that's not to say that you can't be a Christian and a witch at the same time, or you can't be a Buddhist and a witch at the same time. But I think a lot of us are just sort of reaching for more of a spiritual path, and we don't necessarily resonate any longer with these sort of religions that are rooted in, you know, patriarchal oppression and white supremacy. And we're searching for a sense of spirituality and a sense of belonging. And that's, I think, what's brought many people in my generation to witchcraft and spirituality and that kind of thing. So I just wanted to say that. And I think I love it when people think I worship the devil or that I'm like somehow like doing something quote unquote sinful. First of all, I don't believe in sin. I really don't. I don't think that there's anybody out there, including God. I don't think there's anybody out there who is purely perfection, who's never done a bad thing. Like, I think we're all simultaneously good and bad people, and it's all about balance. And I also don't really believe in hell or the devil. I definitely believe more in a reincarnation take on spirituality. Like, I definitely believe that. I've lived many lives. In fact, I've had a past life regression where I went back into one of my past lives. And then in a tarot reading with a medium, a wonderfully talented medium that I work with, we sort of went back into a past life of mine as well. And I truly do believe that the mistakes we make in this life, or the quote-unquote sins we may commit in this life, it's really just a part of our overall lesson that we decided to sort of take on when our soul chose to come to Earth. And that's my sort of spiritual take on the whole is witchcraft devil's work? No, although I will say that I do watch The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, and I love it so much. Like, I know some witches were offended by it because they don't want to perpetuate the idea that all witches worship Satan, because if you've watched The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina on Netflix, you know that, like, their witch's coven worships Satan. But I'm, like, not offended by that at all. In fact, I find that so hilarious. I think it's so funny. I only love the show. And in fact, I think it might have brought some people kind of on their journey to exploring witchcraft, not necessarily the type of witchcraft, you know, where you worship Satan, but to each his own. Like, I'm not saying anything about that. And I think even with the I've been wanting to read the Satanic Bible actually for a while, just to read it, you know, just because I'm a religious studies major and I want to read like a ton of, well, I was a religious studies major, I should say, but I want to read like every religious text I can get my hands on, and I would love to explore more of the Satanic Bible just to see what it says, just because, you know, who said that the unexplored life is not worth living? Who said that? I forget. I don't know. But that's really what I believe, and I just want to explore every facet of religion and spirituality that I can. That being said, I kind of want to give a little bit of background about how I kind of came to witchcraft, and how I came to calling myself a witch, and what is my witchcraft story. I think it sort of started, my journey with astrology was the thing that came to me first. And I think I started astrology, studying astrology around the age of 12, when I got the only astrology book you'll ever need by Joanne, what's her name? I've got the book here. Joanne Martine Woolfolk. That was the first astrology book I ever got. And I was much more into astrology as a kid. I didn't necessarily have a fixation on witchy things, and it wasn't until college, actually. I was in a class. It was classified as a psychology class, but it was all about evolution, and we sort of discussed the evolution of the human. And within that class, I ended up writing a paper about the evolution of birth. And what do I mean by that? I mean, like, actually, like, the act of birth. Like, how did cave women give birth versus how do we give birth now? How do monkeys give birth? And what is our similarities and differences between the way we give birth and the way animals give birth? That's always really fascinated me. And in my studies for my final paper, I began actually reading a lot of stuff about midwives, midwifery, doulas, and that really intrigued me. And in my studies, I sort of started to learn that actually one of the first professions to mankind was midwifery. And we could say that way back in like caveman days, maybe not quite that far back, but way back, you know, women were the ones who were the doctors, and women were the people who were trusted to bring a child into the earth, and they were the facilitators of that process. And I have no doubt that ancient midwives were also psychics, and were also witches, and were also intuitives, and were also empaths. And the way that they operated was a mixture of what they knew scientifically, but also what they knew intuitively. Now, as sort of the Western Christian dogmas sort of got cooking, that's when midwifery and you know, these women who were trusted to be the midwives, that's sort of when they started being branded as witches and devil worshippers. And I think even in medieval Europe, there was once, like, there was some kind of law about, I was reading, like, midwives, like, weren't allowed to practice magic while they were delivering a baby or something like that, because it was like a well-known fact that, you know, these midwives, they did have, like, their intuition, I think, was really powerful. But, you know, since the beginning of time, like, women's intuition or anybody's intuition, you know, it used to be not a scary thing. But I think, again, that Christian, Western, patriarchal lens was the thing that made midwives into these evil witches. And still today, we still see that sort of stereotype going on. When a woman says she has a midwife and she's giving a home birth, or she has a doula, a lot of society will actually roll their eyes at that woman and kind of see her as this sort of hippy dippy trippy sort of character. Like, oh, really? Who has a midwife? Who gives birth in the home? Like, what an idea. Like, you're not going to go to a hospital? That's fucking crazy. But it's really not. And we've sort of created this this idea that midwifery is dangerous, or that birth and labor is not safe. Whereas in reality, I think women or females were born to, you know, have a baby. Now, I'm not saying that that's for everybody, and I'm not saying that that is our only purpose, but I'm saying that in a biological sense, our biological bodies are made to give birth. So I guess that was the beginning of my witchcraft journey. It started with my fascination for midwifery and the history of midwifery. And would I like to be a midwife or a doula? Honestly, I would love that. But I think one thing is holding me back, and that is my fear of blood. I'm like quite a, I get really easily like grossed out by anything that has to do in a hospital. It's because I am an empath, and like when I go into any sort of medical situation, I start to feel the pain and the anxiety of everything around me. And I've been known to sort of pass out in doctor's offices and get really like queasy and lightheaded because I'm sort of learning how to block off people's energies. And that just is what comes with being an empath. But that's sort of my beginning story with my witchcraft, how I got into the sort of idea of it. Now, I didn't actually start practicing, like doing spells, making a book of shadows. I didn't start doing that until sometime during 2018. So I'm still very much a baby witch. But I think in being a witch, I'm sort of creating my own religion. I view it as goddess worship. I view it as worshiping the female instead of the male. It's very empowering to me. I like to think that in a way being a witch is kind of like being a midwife, in a metaphorical sense, because we're sort of bringing in new life or new energy into the world by being a witch. And yeah, that's sort of like my take on it. Also, if there's any midwives or doulas listening, will you DM me? Because I would like pee in my pants if I could have interview a midwife or a doula on this podcast. So if you are, please DM me or contact me or email me and let me know if you would like to be on this podcast. I would love to interview you. But now let's turn it to you. Let's turn it to the listener on the other side. I kind of want to direct my witch curious folks and my baby witch folks to maybe a few reasons why we shouldn't go down this path. That's kind of where I want to start, because like I said in the beginning, this kind of thing is getting trendier and trendier, and we see more and more people doing it. And I think that's great, but I also think it has a shadow side in the sense that a lot of people maybe don't know what they're doing. They aren't really starting their witchcraft journey for the quote unquote right reasons. And whenever there's a trend happening, there's sort of a expectation that like this is just for a short period of time and this is something I'm going to take up but then drop later. Of course, if you genuinely want to try out witchcraft and then you realize it doesn't resonate with you, I don't think there's any shame in that. But also there's a difference between that and taking up witchcraft just for like a hot 5 minutes to do some spooky spell and then never doing something again. I actually think it brings a great amount of disrespect to the spirituality of witchcraft, and also a great amount of disrespect to our ancestors and to the energies that we may be manipulating. And I don't think that's ever great for your own personal energy. Let's just say that. But I think a real witch doesn't really get into this craft because they want a spooky paranormal experience. I think a real witch opens themselves up to this path because they want to, you know, be the best version of themselves. They want to hold hands with their higher self and they want to sort of deal with their fears and their shadow side. And they want a religion or a spirituality that allows them to make these sort of personal transformations. And I think the path of witchcraft can be extremely meaningful when we go about it the right way. However, if we're sort of just doing it, you know, because, you know, you're suddenly interested in witchcraft because, let's say, you just broke up with someone and you want to figure out how to put a love spell on your ex to get them back, and you're going to take out witchcraft because you want to do a love spell. I would not recommend that. And I would say you're probably getting into it for the wrong reasons. Also, if you want to, alternatively, if you're interested in maybe hexing your boyfriend, your ex-boyfriend, or your ex-girlfriend, maybe they, you know, did something bad to you, maybe they cheated on you, or just burned you in some way, you want to figure out how to put a hex on them or send them bad energy. Again, I would say that's very dangerous. That you're dangerous waters you're swimming in. I would not get into witchcraft just because you're interested in love spells or hexes. Also, I know I mentioned The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, which I find is a great show. But if you're just sort of doing it because you think it's cool and you see Sabrina doing all her stuff and going out into the woods and, you know, bringing back dead people, and you're like, oh man, I want to do that. Just know that The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina is obviously fictional, and there's a lot more to witchcraft than what is shown. So if you have been somehow inspired by that show or another, let's say another Netflix special, I know just everything witchy is very trendy right now. I'm not saying it's not a valid reason to go after witchcraft, but really think about exactly what you want out of this, right? And I also think, obviously, don't just go into witchcraft because you want to figure out how to, you know, again, the love spell thing. Like, you want to attract a lover, you want to attract a soulmate, or you want to attract your true love or something. Like, again, like, witchcraft isn't about love spells, and I just don't like that whole culture of, like, just doing witchcraft so you can, like, somehow attract people in your life. Or, I mean, witchcraft is not all good and love and fairies and sex and love spells. There's no such thing as a purely good witch and a purely bad witch. Every sort of witchcraft, every spell we do has a price. And that's not necessarily to scare anybody, but it's just the laws of nature. Like, even Buddhism says that. Buddhism says there has to be a balance between the good and the bad. And that's what witchcraft has to do with, too. And for a matter of fact, I'm always incorporating Buddhist principles into my witchcraft because I think they're very much related. So if you are attracted to sort of a Buddhist philosophy, you may very well be attracted to your own sort of creation of witchcraft. Also, obviously, witchcraft is not going to help you win the lottery. And if you did do a spell and won the lottery, I could probably guarantee it's going to go bad afterwards. Also, if all your friends are doing it and you're just doing it because your friends are like forming this coven and you want to be a part of it, that's also not a really great way to do it. I don't think witchcraft should be coming from a place of seeking acceptance from your peers. It should be more of a place of personal transformation and growth. And if you just want to fit into your friends, maybe they're starting a coven, I would challenge you and ask yourself, you know, why do you even want to be in a coven? There's nothing wrong with being a coven, and I'll get into that in a few minutes, but also I really recommend when you're first getting into witchcraft, be an individual practicer for a good chunk of time. Like, really get to know yourself and your own practice and your own boundaries and what you believe in and what you don't, and don't be so quick to join another group of witches who may influence you in ways that maybe you wouldn't have been influenced if you had just started by yourself. One more thing. I'll say love spells again. Stop with the freaking love spells. Seriously. Don't get into this if you're just going to want to do love spells. That's so dumb to me. Okay, I think that's about it, but good reasons to pursue witchcraft. Okay, so I think maybe you're interested in overcoming your fears, you're interested in overcoming your blockages, you want to work on your traumas, you're interested in, you know, sort of spirituality that can lead to personal transformation and manifesting, you know, good things into your life. Maybe you're interested in witchcraft because you're curious to explore your ancestral roots. I think that's usually a very big part of being a witch. You know, you're doing a lot of ancestral healing. You're going to probably have to go into what the things your ancestors experienced, and you're going to realize how that still is sort of a driving force in your life. And I'll tell you guys, one day I will do an episode about my ancestral story, but I am a personal, like, I can personally attest that even with my great-grandmother, her name is Angelina, and she, you know, she's an immigrant from Italy, and she came to America with her two kids, my grandma and her brother. And my great-grandmother Angelina, although I never met her, although she died before I was born, her story, I am a firm believer that I'm still here to heal some of that trauma that I still carry from her, and that all the women in my family still carry from her. And that's something that you will also come to know, I think, if you go down the witchcraft route. You will inevitably have to face any sort of ancestral wound. And that can be powerful for your own healing, but also the healing of the collective, right? Because all these issues with toxic masculinity and the patriarchy and women not stepping into their power, that's all ancestral wounds, right? That's all shit that we're still carrying from a billion years ago that still needs to be healed. And that's really one of the most important reasons to go down the path of witchcraft, right? And then lastly, I think in embracing our femininity, and I mean that in an energetic way, not in a gendered way, and, you know, our masculinity too, in embracing both sides, and sort of being a vehicle for the divine, for being a vessel of spirit, in being a witch, we're actually helping to demolish the patriarchy and inequality, right? So I think that's also of the utmost concern when we're going down the route of witchcraft. It's not just about us. It's not just about you and your personal transformation. It's also about healing the collective. And how do we heal the collective? Well, as the Dalai Lama would say, we need to learn to love ourselves first, and we need to heal ourselves first, and we need to face our own wounds first. And if we do that, we actually help the collective. So there has to be a good mix of wanting to heal the collective of their wounds, but also wanting to face your own wounds. And yeah, witchcraft isn't always fun. It's not just like this fun thing where we burn candles and blow glitter all over the place and put rose petals in our bath and whatever. It can get painful, because like in doing this, you're actually facing your wounds, and you're facing things you don't want to deal with. You know, for instance, like in getting deeper into tarot and witchcraft, I've started seeing a therapist for the first time. And that's because, you know, on the road to witchcraft, like that has revealed a lot about myself that I knew I had to deal with. And that's like the beauty, but also the pain of being a witch. And I just want everybody to know, like, not to dissuade you from going down this path, because it is a beautiful path. But there's painful moments. There's definitely painful moments. And we'll talk about it in a future episode, too, about what is a shadow side, what the psychologist Carl Jung would call a shadow side, and how we are also facing our shadow side when we go down the path of witchcraft. So by now you're like, yeah, Mal, I get the point. Sounds great. I want to be a witch. But how do I start? Okay, let me take a drink of water. Okay. So where's a good starting point? So this is where my opinion may get a bit controversial. Because maybe, and this is where you're going to want to go get a ton of opinions. You know, don't just take my word as gold. Watch some YouTube videos, find some YouTube witches, find some other witches on Instagram and podcasts, and see what they have to say about this. But for me, witchcraft didn't actually start with a book. It didn't really start with a spell book or me reading or doing that much research into exactly how to be a witch. It really just started with me and my own instincts. And the fact that, you know, I think some people were recommending like certain books you could read or certain spell books you could get. And honestly, that didn't really resonate with me at all. And the idea of buying a spell book, I kind of take issue with it in a way. Not that I don't have spell books, because I do, but I think especially as a baby witch, you need to learn how to harness your own energy and write your own spells, and you need to learn how to pull that power from yourself before I think you turn to another source. It's almost kind of like reading tarot in a sense. Like, you can read all the guidebooks in the world on a certain card, but at the end of the day, it is you and your own intuition that's telling you what the card means, right? And that's the same principle with witchcraft. Again, I'm not telling you not to go get a book. Like, please, by all means, go buy a book. Do your research. Of course, I continue to do research on this all the time. But at the end of the day, I know in my intuition what is right and what is wrong. And I know inside my intuition what resonates and what doesn't. And that's sort of the challenge too when you're beginning this journey. And I just want all of you guys to know, if you don't take anything else from this podcast, know this, you know, whatever you do, never let anybody tell you how to be a witch, okay? You are your own god, and that's the beauty of being a witch, and you know best, right? You know best. Your intuition knows best. So really never let anybody tell you how to be a witch. And for that matter, never let anybody tell you how to read tarot. Never let anybody tell you how to, you know, read the runic alphabet. Never let anybody tell you how to read an oracle card. Now, astrology, that's a little different. Astrology is a little bit more scientific, so you probably do need to read a book. I'm not telling you to be like, never let anybody tell you what Jupiter means, you know. Like, no, like, that actually has a definition. That's more of a science. But with the intuitive practices, like, you truly are God, and you know best. So I just wanted to tell you that. And, you know, I just want to give some tips about how to get started. Now, I think the main point of confusion when we're started to, you know, get into witchcraft, a lot of us are sort of unaware of just how many practices and traditions of witchcraft there actually are. Like, name any place in the world, and I guarantee that they have a history of their own witchcraft in their own specific region. And this can be really confusing because you may not know where to start. Also, it's worth a mention that I think a lot of people, when they think of being a witch, they sort of automatically turn to Wicca and what it is to be a Wiccan. And I just want to make the sort of the separation that you can practice paganism and celebrate the pagan holidays, and you can call yourself a pagan without actually being a Wiccan. And I think there's sort of a default that when you want to be a witch, you need to suddenly become a Wiccan, and you need to turn to Wicca and buy all these books about Wiccanism. And I'm totally not shading Wiccanism at all. In fact, I think it's a beautiful religion. But I just want to let you know there's like more facets of witchcraft than just Wiccanism. And if you feel drawn to exploring that religion, by all means, like, go ahead. Like, it's a beautiful religion, like I said. Am I a Wiccan? No. I more identify just as a general pagan. I'm sort of just a boring, old, independent, practicing pagan who uses Buddhist principles and also nature worship to sort of define my practice. But I just want to let you know that it's kind of like a stereotype, or it might be the default when we're talking about witchcraft, to just go straight to being a Wicca. And it's not, sorry, a Wiccan, I keep saying it wrong, but that's not necessarily the case. And there's more types of witches than just Wiccans. I just want to let you know. But again, if you feel drawn to that, by all means, buy a book. Go on YouTube. Whatever you want. I know there's a million Wiccans on YouTube that have great things. And I still take things from Wiccans and what they say. And, like, I still will incorporate some aspects of the Wiccan religion into my practice. But at the end of the day, I kind of choose to be a non-conforming witch who practices pagan holidays and, you know, incorporates a lot of aspects of paganism into my practice. So I just wanted to say that. Also, like, maybe this goes unsaid, but, you know, voodoo, that's also a different sort of pantheon of witchcraft, a different practice of witchcraft. And again, if you feel drawn to that, by all means, go do it. But again, like, there's separations, like, these things are different. Like, general paganism isn't the same thing as voodoo, and voodoo isn't the same thing as Wiccanism, and so on and so forth. And there needs to be a distinction, because I think when we first start getting into witchcraft, there's so much information we don't actually know where to go. So I think it's important for especially baby witches to start with your own ancestry. See where your ancestors came from and see if you can get a book about maybe paganism or witchcraft from your own specific ancestry. This is always a good practice, I think, in any spiritual exploration, just because there's so much, I think, cultural appropriation going on in the spiritual community that it's sometimes hard to sort of discern what is ethical and what is not. Especially, I'm speaking from a white cis woman's perspective. Like, you should definitely start with your own ancestry. I'll give you an example. For instance, I knew I liked paganism, but I actually wanted to check out more of my Italian ancestry and what kind of witchcraft is pre-existing in the Italian culture. So I ended up getting a book. It's called Italian Folk Magic, Rue's Kitchen Witchery, and that's by Mary Grace Faroon. And I have that book, I believe, in my Amazon witchy book list that's in the show notes of this podcast. And as you know, I keep all my tarot decks and I keep all the books I like in that wish list, not because I wish you to buy me anything, but because I just want to keep it all organized there for you in case you would like to buy the things that I'm into. The one thing that's not on that wish list, though, is the Color Gypsy deck, because they don't sell it on Amazon. So if you are interested in the Color Gypsy deck, go to their actual website. But anyways, that Italian folk magic book, although I don't really use it for the spells, it did give me a good background on what Italian magic is. And that sort of allowed me to have a good foundation for my own practice. So that's my one advice. You know, start with, especially if you're white, start with your own ancestry and be wary about cultural appropriation and what are you taking from other cultures and what is your own and what is not. And make sure you really own that, because again, like, the cultural appropriation in the spiritual community is a little bit out of control at this point. It really is. So let's move on. One thing you may want to get also is a book of shadows. What is a book of shadows? I actually don't love the term book of shadows, because it kind of is a little too Halloween-y for me. And I don't love to, like, again, you guys know I don't love to perpetuate the idea that witchcraft is scary or tarot cards are scary or whatnot. But anyways, I do have a book of shadows, and it's basically just a sacred journal where you can keep track of your beginning spells. You can keep track of really anything you want. There's really no rules. Like I said, it's just a sacred journal where you're sort of documenting your journey with witchcraft. In my book of shadows, I just got a big journal. You kind of want it to be a little bit bigger so you have room to, you know, cut and paste things that you may need to know. But I got my journal at like a craft store. It's just this big black book, and inside of it I have all different kinds of things. I have pages for my personal astrology. I have my birth chart glued in my book of shadows. I have tarot spreads that I've designed. I have spells that I've done. I've had journal entries about how certain new moons and full moons have made me feel. I've had goddess research, you know, all kinds of stuff that I just want to keep track of. And that's a really good practice. Like, even if you're not necessarily the biggest writer or the biggest, like, artsy person, like, you still probably do want to invest in some kind of book of shadows, because it doesn't need to be amazing writing or amazing artwork that you're putting in there. It's just so you can keep track of your journey. And I would suggest, if you're looking into buying a book of shadows and creating one, make your first page a journal entry about what you intend with your witchcraft journey and how you see yourself transforming with this energy as the years go on. And that's a really good first journal entry. As a witch, you may also want to look into a mode of divination. You know, I don't think a mode of divination is absolutely 100% necessary to be a witch. However, it's helpful, and modes of divination can be anything. What do I mean by mode of divination? I think the most popular one would probably be tarot cards, oracle cards. If you need permission from someone to get a tarot card deck, here is your permission. Get a tarot deck. Stop waiting. Get your first tarot deck if you want to. If you're really not feeling tarot, I think that there's some beautiful oracle decks that you can get. What is the difference between an oracle deck and a tarot deck? Well, a tarot deck follows a system just like a regular deck of cards, right? We have court cards. We have four different suits. We have the major arcana, the minor arcana. You know, it's separated into sections, whereas an oracle deck is just sort of a general deck of cards. It could be anything. It could be goddess deck. It could be a color deck, like my color gypsy deck. It could be an animal deck, and that's something to provide you with some guidance. If you want more information on that, I think I made an episode about using tarot cards. Yeah, using tarot cards for your mental health, and in that episode I give more information about starting tarot and oracle cards. Another mode of divination that you could use if you're not into tarot is crystals. If you're into crystal energy, also herbs, you could start learning more about how to use herbs as a mode of divination. A lot of people these days are calling themselves a plant witch, which I love. I don't really know a lot about herbs, but I'm learning more and more as I go on. Also, even writing and dancing and composing music is a sort of sense of, you have a mode of divination. If you are attracted to fire, you may be attracted to doing more of a candle magic kind of thing. If you're attracted more to the water element, you may be attracted to water magic. If you're an earth sign, maybe you want to, you know, plant a garden and with all your magical herbs in it, and that's sort of your witchcraft. See, you guys can tell, like, it can really be anything you want. My witchcraft consists of a lot of things. Like, it consists of tarot, it consists of oracle, crystals. I even read the runic alphabet. I've started learning how to read the runic alphabet. So if you're interested in that, that's also a really cool thing to get into. I do candle magic. I do water magic. I do all kinds of things. And we'll get into that too, about spell casting in a later episode and using the elements. But it's really up to what is attracted to you, and there's no wrong answer, and you should really just follow your intuition to what you are attracted to with your certain mode of divination. And at the end of the day, you are your own mode of divination, right? You are the energetic channel. So know that your tarot cards can be powerful, but they're not as powerful as you. Your crystals can be powerful, but they're not as powerful as what you have, your own energy. So always remember that as you're choosing a mode of divination. Now, something else a baby witch may consider getting is or making is some sort of sacred space. You need a space for your practice. You need a space to come to every day, even if it's for only 5 minutes. And you want somewhere where you can sort of create a ritual of a sense. You want somewhere, most witches have an altar, somewhere where they've kind of decorated with, it can be anything. You can decorate your altar and dedicate it to a certain goddess or god. You can decorate your altar according to the pagan holiday. You can just decorate it with shit that you like. Anything you want. It's just sort of you creating a space where you can have a place to come to pull tarot cards, to connect with your crystals, to meditate, to cast a spell, to write in your book of shadows. You just want some kind of place that feels special that you can create for yourself. If you need more ideas, again, Pinterest has a ton of altar decorating ideas. YouTube has a ton of how to decorate your altar videos. And if you're not currently in a place, like maybe you live with your family or you live with maybe someone who would be judgmental or not accepting of you calling yourself a witch, maybe you're in the broom closet, as they call it. you might consider sort of making a sort of foldable traveling altar where you have sort of a blanket in your crystals that you can sort of roll out and when you're practicing and when you need it, and sort of roll back in when and hide it or put it away somewhere when you're not wanting people to see your altar. And that's sort of what I do. I sort of have a general altar going on my desk that looks a little bit witchy, but it's not. It's just really my crystals and my tarot cards. I have my candles. I have some things that I collected from outside. And that's really all I have. I have some incense. I have a few spell ingredients like Florida water. I have some salt that I charged in the moon. Yeah, and that's kind of what I have on my altar, because really I know all I need is myself at the end of the day, and I just need a safe space to be, and I just need a safe space to sort of explore my spirituality by myself. And that's something that you'll sort of develop a routine on. If you can carve out about 10 minutes of your day at least to be at your altar, even if it's for a short period in the morning, to sort of just be with yourself, consider your practice, connect with spirit. If you've never connected with spirit before, your altar can be a great place to do so. Also, if you feel like you've never connected to spirit, I can guarantee that you have. Maybe you just weren't consciously aware of it. But as you're trying to connect with your ancestors and your spirit guides, as you enter into your journey of witchcraft, being at an altar and creating a routine is a great way to do so. And the last thing I want to touch on with like the beginnings of sort of being a witch, you also want to consider if you're going to be an individual practicer or a practitioner, I should say, or if you want to join a coven. Now, here's my humble advice. I think that, and you know, take this or leave this, I could totally be wrong. Someone else could have a totally different opinion, but it's my feeling that any baby witch out there should really get a good grasp on their own witchcraft and their own beliefs and their own boundaries before they actually join a coven. I think that you need to be very strong in your own beliefs, and you want to practice connecting, again, to your own spirit guides, your own ancestors, before you join sort of a group dynamic. You know, there's psychological things that can happen when we're in a group. Believe me. I've experienced kind of the shadow side of that. And when we're very vulnerable and we're just getting started with our witchcraft journey or our spirituality journey, and we're sort of embarking on this journey in a group setting, yeah, there are definitely scientifically proven psychological things that can happen inside of that that could not be the best for you. And this could be sort of, I'm not saying like, you know, covens have a cult effect on people or anything like that. Like, that's not what I'm saying. And I'm totally not dissing covens at all. And if you are a witch, a part of a coven, I'm totally not throwing you shade. I'm just kind of giving more of a little bit, not of a warning, but just sort of something to consider before you, as an individual witch, go seeking a community in a coven when you don't actually know who you are as a witch first. That's my advice. Once you know who you are as a witch and you feel strong enough in your own practice and you really feel called to seek a coven or join a coven, by all means, do that if you wish. Now, for me personally, I totally identify as an independent practitioner. Never say never, but I probably will never join a coven just because my witchcraft is very personal. My spells are for me. I really view it, like I said, like I am my own god and I am my own like priestess of my own religion, and I don't necessarily feel the call to practice with any other witches besides myself. But here's the big but: that's not to say that I don't seek community with other witches. And I'm lucky enough to actually, I work at a metaphysical shop. If this is the first time you're listening to this, I'm a newly professional tarot card reader at my local metaphysical shop. And I'm lucky enough that my metaphysical shop that I go to has moon rituals where we get together on the new moon and the full moon. And there's always some sort of ritual dedicated to a god or goddess, and we sort of review the energy of the moon, and it's sort of like going to church in a way for me, only instead of talking about Jesus, we're talking about the moon. And it's nice to get together with a group of witches, but not necessarily be in a coven, in a sense. And I think there's a total distinction between those two things. And I think it's good for everybody, whether you are in a coven or you consider yourself an individual practitioner, you should definitely try to find community. Go to your local metaphysical shop and see if they do some kind of moon ritual, or search for moon circles in your local community. Meet other witches, try to find community, because that's really important. And that can be like a really great sense of community, especially when you're first getting started and you don't really know what you're doing. And, you know, feel free to start your own moon circle for baby witches. I think I sort of have started, in a way, a community for baby witches on my Instagram. So if all else fails, come on over to my Instagram, DM me. We can talk about the moon or your trials and tribulations with being a witch and getting started. But I think that's sort of my humble advice for today, and that I kind of want to keep this episode a little bit on the shorter side, and I just want to give you guys some pointers and some things to consider on the beginnings of your journey of witchcraft. Now, in a later episode in February, I'm super excited because I have my first collaboration. And me and my collab, I'll announce this later, but we'll be doing an episode about, for baby witches out there, the beginnings of how to work with a goddess and how to worship a god or a goddess of your choosing and how to get started with that. That's something you may be interested in. And as a baby witch, I would totally encourage you to do some more research about goddesses and see if there's a certain goddess that you would like to start working with in the beginning of your journey. That's something you may even want to ask spirit for. You may want to ask the universe, you know, please, if there's a goddess who wants to work with me, please show yourself so I can, you know that I need to be working with you. In my experience, certain goddesses have revealed themselves to me in mysterious ways, and I'm kind of excited to learn more about, you know, any listener of Horoscope Witch. I truly want to know what goddesses you guys are attracted to and who you're working with this year, so let me know, and I'll share more of my story with Oshun, and I also work with Mary Magdalene sometimes, so I want to share more about that story in my Goddess and God episode with my collab coming in February. Now, what else? What else is on the agenda? Oh my God, guys. Oh, I should have said this from the beginning. Horoscope Witch finally has a blog. So with every podcast episode, I'm now going to be publishing a blog, a sort of a sister blog to go with the podcast. So please feel free to check out my Horoscope Witch blog. The link is in the show notes. Share that with a friend, especially if you have a friend who isn't necessarily into podcasts. Maybe they're more into reading stuff. I'm trying to expand my platforms for sure. The next podcast episode will be out before the end of January, and it's going to be my Aquarius episode. We're going to be going over the Aquarius archetype, and then we'll also be looking at the weather, the astrological weather for February. And yeah, in February, we have our Goddess and God episode. We have another Women Who Run with the Wolves episode. And I'm still kind of toying with what my other episodes will be in February. I may do my own spiritual journey episode and kind of tell you guys the story of how I came to certain things with tarot and spirituality. So that is on the agenda. And I really appreciate you guys for coming here today. If you like this, share it with a friend. I really appreciate you. I never feel shy about reaching out to me on Instagram, or I would love to talk to you guys. So Instagram and Twitter, email, whatever you wish, come say hi, and I'll see you guys next time. Thanks so much.